And we are still praying. Let's continue to give thanks for today. That Lord, this evening, your word is coming to me. Say, Lord, enlighten my heart that I might receive your instructions. Enlighten my heart that your understanding might come to me. Lord, open my eyes. Say, Lord, open my heart. Open my eyes. Open my understanding. That's why I have come. I have not come to play. I have come to have my understanding open. Lord, open my understanding this evening in the name of Jesus. That place where I thought I was okay, but actually I am not. Lord, I ask of you in the name of Jesus, open my understanding. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Now let's declare that word of understanding as we begin to study. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
That is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord has given you insight. It's your portion today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles. Don't sit down, please. Open to everybody. Just remain standing. Let's read from verse 65. And we're going to end it in verse 80. No, let's read further down. Let's read to verse 88. I hope you don't mind. What else are we doing? Not to read the word of God. All right, let's start from 65. All right, the Lord is good. All right, the Lord is good. Now, I'll do it that way we did last time. I'll read 65, and then you read the next line and all of that, okay? Psalm 119, from verse 65. I'm reading with the New American Standard Bible. All right, I'm going to read from verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. 66. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandments. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe thy precepts. 70. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in thy law. 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted. He said that I may learn thy statutes. 72. The word of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. 74. May those who fear thee see me and be glad, because I wait for thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy commandments are righteous, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. 76. O may my loving kindness comfort me according to thy word to your servant. 77. May thy compassion come to me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on thy precepts. 79. May those who fear thee turn to me, even those who know thy testimonies. 80. May my heart be blameless in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. 81. My soul languishes for thy salvation. I wait for thy word. My eyes fill with longing for thy word, while I say, when wilt thou comfort me? Verse 83. Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. 87 say, they almost destroyed me on earth, but as for me, I did not forsake thy precepts. According to thy loving kindness, so that I may keep thy testimonies. I notice that they almost destroyed me on the earth, but as for me, I did not forsake thy precepts. That is, no matter the pressures that I may have on this earth, I will never forsake the precepts of God. Recently in Nigeria, what happened because of attacks here and there? Christians wanted to become militants too. Yes, I like what the vice president said that time. He said, remember, don't allow these people make you into what you are not. And that's one instruction we must bear in mind. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's take our seats. Let's just continue from where we stopped last time. Last time we ended analyzing verse 72. We ended in the segment that ends 72, even though we began to read again from 65. And I just did that because I want to review for a moment what we said last time because it's so important. I said something to us that this is the most important prayer. That's Psalm 119. That in it, David was focusing again and again on his relationship with God's word. He was not focusing on his material needs. He was not focusing on his problems. He was not focusing on his afflictions. And they were many. Are you getting my point here? But what we do many times when we are not properly taught in today's Christianity is that we focus on our afflictions. We focus on our troubles. We focus on the things that we think are our problems. So that if somebody needs a job, you'll be sowing seed and praying prayers and fasting and praying because of that job. But if you notice, David kept on saying again and again, he will highlight his problems like we saw a number of them here. He said that they almost, you know, destroyed me on the earth. That 87 we just read. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. What was important to him is that this affliction will not make me forsake the precepts of God. Are you getting my point? That was a prayer in the midst of the affliction. He will tell you that before I was afflicted, back to that 67, I went astray. But now I obey your word. I keep your word. That is, he began to see everything in his life in light of his ability to keep God's word. That's what he was doing. He wasn't seeing everything as, okay, when will God answer me? When will God will answer me? When will my seed germinate? You know, when will my righteousness pay off? No. What he was just seeing is that if I focus on the word of God, all my problems will go away. And if my problems have not gone away, probably my focus is not good enough. I hope you're getting my point here. That is, the more the problems intensify, the more I focus on the word. And I understand that the problems are engineered by the enemy to distract me from the word of God. Two, the problems are allowed by the Lord to test my dedication to his word. Two of them going side by side. You are getting my point? Two of them running together. That it's not as if God doesn't know that I have these issues. He's just saying, how much can this distract you from this word? If we start seeing our lives in that light, we will react differently to things. Sometimes when I look at the issues of the nation, you understand? Of course, it comes again and again and again. I say, people, I wish you will understand what God is testing. You know what God said? I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Not when things were good. When I wanted to separate men from the boys, I allowed all of them to go into affliction. Do you get my point? That's what God does. But we don't realize it. You know, oh God, I feel so sorry for people. That you don't realize that this earth is short. You know, I keep on saying it. Our stay on this earth is very short, too. If you like, live to be 120 years old. You will get a record, trust me. In this modern age, you will get a record. 120 years old, you can prove the time you were born. Guinness Book of World Records will put you inside their book. At least you'll make it to be at least the oldest African. But that length of time, the 120 years is not enough for the angels to tie their shoes. I don't know whether I get my point. It's a short time. It's very short. You know, the Bible says like this, that this the day is like what? 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. So that 120 years is less than just about 10% of a day. Just like an hour when the angels are looking at it. And you are not going to die permanently. I hope you understand that. Don't let anybody deceive you that when you are dead, you are dead. You're not dead. You just change your clothes. That's what happens. When you land, maybe you are coming from the moon, you get to the earth, you remove that space suit you were wearing. It's a different thing that's going on right here. The environment is different. You can't walk around with that space suit. That space suit you use in space, if you try to walk around on the earth, that thing weighs, I don't know how many kgs. You can't carry your leg up. The one they use for walking on the moon. Because the gravitational pull on the moon is very weak. That one is designed to pull you down to the moon. Try to walk on the earth, you'll be surprised. You can't move, so you remove it. In the same manner, when you have to leave this earth and go to another realm, you have to, what you are wearing, what that thing that your cloth is covering is another cloth in itself. Do you get my point? Yes. So you just remove the clothes and then you wear something else. You will get something else to wear. You will not just be unclothed permanently. The Bible says you'll be clothed anew. There will something else be given to you. However, right? This is the point I'm going to make. And that's the fact that don't get attached to this earth. One day it will pass away. It will literally pass away. What the Lord is doing is producing something in you that cannot pass away. The spiritual traits, it births in you, can't pass away. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the patience, all those things that he births in you on this earth, they can't pass away. I hope you're getting what I'm saying.
Yes,
that's a matter of fact. Let's get it clear again. This is mahogany. The angels think it is dust. They think it's cloud. They can't lean on this thing. This thing cannot bear the shoulder of an angel. The substance is made of will not let him rest on this. He will pass through it. If Jesus does not slow his resurrection body down, he walks through walls. Concrete walls that people were hiding. Of course, it wasn't concrete, maybe mud, brick, whatever they used their own, you know. But these were walls people were hiding behind because of Roman soldiers. The Lord Jesus, with resurrection body, passed through it like nothing was happening. One man I listened to many years ago was preaching. That man used to preach scientifically. He said, every scripture is a molecule of power. The same man explained something to us once, that the vibration that he was trying to explain. He said if it was possible for him to amplify the vibration of his molecules, the molecules of his body can pass through a wall. I said, But it's so true. It's so true. Angels have bodies. Just that it's not made of the same substance that this one you have is made of. I want to explain something here. So what this thing that looks real to you, that your car that looks so nice, that your building that looks so fine, believe me, when you die, you won't even miss it. You won't feel bad. You won't look at, see my fine building on the earth. Nothing like that. You're just going to look down and say, so that thing was actually not worth any. Just look at it. Everybody, look, I've heard this again and again and again. I told you the other time, one man, this man, big man of God, rich man, apart from being a man of God, was wealthy in the world. Just before he died, I think he was ill for a while. One of our Enugu big men went to visit him. So I went for a program later where that Enugu big preacher was preaching. Just a small meeting. And they were just talking about life. He said he went to see that man, and the man took him to the basement of his house. You know, one guy told me once, he said he served in a house where if you see a brand new Camry, if you see a new Hilux, it's security men. The men inside that house, they don't have time for Japanese cars. What do they drive? Bentleys and Rolls Royces. Their homes like that. So in that house, if you see one fine car park, you look at sharp Honda, latest model Honda. Say now police is a carry. That is the security details. I talk to the big men. But the men themselves, they enter Bentleys, Rolls Royces, Jaguars, you know, the high-end ones. Now, what I'm talking about, that this man, that's the kind of life he also had. So he took this other man to his basement and showed him cars parked there and said with his own mouth, see all of these things? They mean nothing. He died the following week. And this is a man who has seen everything. You know, some people are so foolish. You know what they will say? Let us see it first. You know, you just say things that God will use to give up on you. God, you say, this one cannot be corrected. No, there are people who talk. They don't know that God is listening. I'm making up his mind that this guy is a real mugu. You know, it's not, you know, if I call you a fool, I may be judged. Are you getting my point? But it's horrible when God calls you a fool. There was one rich man that said, I've laid up everything. You know what God said? You fool. God, please, don't foolize my life. May the Lord not call you a fool.
Amen.
There are things we do. The Lord will almost say it. You tell somebody, look, this is vanity. Say, let me experience it first. I will know whether it's vanity. Because no problem. I'm going to, and this is how he's going to do to somebody like that. He will take you to an electrical installation where they put danger, high voltage. And he will say, you must experience it first. Too. I will not give you the wisdom to believe the danger written on the high voltage. So he will toss you into NEPA transformer. Then you'll be electrocuted, you will now die. Then the angels will say, what happened, Lord? He said, he wanted to experience it first. People will say, what happened? That guy went and took high tension cable, no. And we were warning him. God said, you don't understand. He did, they were preaching. And they said something is vanity. And he said, let me experience it first. That was the day I gave him over to experiencing high voltage first. What am I going to emphasize? The Lord is not interested in material things as he is interested in the spiritual traits that he's producing in our lives. Because he knows that the material things will pass away. Are you getting my point? He knows. And passing away quickly. Quickly too. Quickly. And then sometimes I just imagine the Lord looking down at us. You say these people are very foolish. Look at the way they are laboring for things that perish. You know, do you know there are women who marry a man because you give them a good wedding? How foolish can an adult be? Then a year after the wedding, the man drives them away. Or they are the ones that drive the man away. I don't know which one drives who now. What I'm going to say, sometimes we make the choices. The Lord is not looking and say, are these guys okay? Are these all right? You have to plan for the future of your children. God says, okay, let me hear. How are you planning? I'm carrying them to Sodom and Gomorrah. God says, what did you say? I'm carrying them because Sodom and Gomorrah, the land is well watered, like the garden of the Lord. God says, no problem. Can we have an agreement? When I rain fire and brimstone, don't call me. There are little things we do, and God will just say, you don't believe. Please go and listen to our series, Total Faith. Go and listen to it. There I explain that you can't just wake up in the morning and say you want to believe God for something. Faith, you either have it or you ain't got it. That's the way it is. You either have it or you don't have it. You can't just decide that today I am going to believe God that the sun will rise maybe from the south. You don't just make up your mind. You can't just make up your mind, I want to believe God for healing. You can't just make up your mind, No, you can't. The faith either is there or it is not. If it is there, it will work. You're getting my point? If it is there. Now, what am I going to emphasize? I'm not emphasizing towards the lesson. Is the faith there or it is not? It is not shown in your ability to receive healing. It's not shown in your ability to receive money. It's shown in your ability to make choices that please the Lord. That's where faith is first demonstrated to be real. So the little choice we make sometimes, the one I give as an example all the time, you say a man wants to marry or a woman wants to marry. Say, I can't marry anybody from this area. You're a Christian, no? You're not a Muslim, you're not a pagan. You're not a follower of T.B. Joshua, you're a Christian. You now want time to marry. And I say, where is she from? They say, she's from Imo State. And you are from where? I'm from Anambra State. Both people are speaking the same language. Now, my problem is, and they call themselves what? Christians. And the same person now turns tomorrow, goes to his office. I command prosperity to come. Because if you don't believe now. Yesterday, I wanted to give you a wife. You remember that she's from Imo and from Anambra. And you can't marry. So you therefore did despite, Old English, to the blood of Jesus. You insulted the blood of Jesus, divided the body of Christ, and now come next day, you want to use that same faith that you don't have to call prosperity into your business. The Lord looks at you and says, oh boy, if na Indian hemp you smoke, let it clear from your eyes because you don't have faith. It's not about whether it was working or not. You don't have faith. Please listen to the series, Total Faith. That's the point we made in that Total Faith. You don't have faith if you can't obey the word of God in small things. You don't have faith if every time they give you a better paying job, you have changed. You don't have faith if every new investment that makes money, you have entered inside. You don't have faith. It's not when you want to receive something, you know whether you have faith or you don't. It's when you want to obey something. That's when you know whether you have faith or you don't have faith. It's when it is time for obedience. Not time to collect. It is when it is time to obey that you know whether you have faith or you don't have faith. I've seen people that say, no, me, I've told God by next year. I've told God by next year. I remember the person that I'm thinking of now. I said, did you ever ask God, what do you have to say? Is everything I've told God by next year? I've told God So faith is always collecting. The first thing faith does for you is give you the ability to give. Gives, when I say give now, I don't mean exchange, I don't mean kalokalo. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Because this is when you talk, you have to balance things for Christians. When you say, faith gives me to give, man, as I'm giving, I'm just receiving. That is not giving. That is what? Investing. There's a difference. God loves a cheerful giver. He does not love a cheerful investor. I have to stop. You know, once I get there, I'm what? I'm stuck. So I refuse to say more than that. Back to my message. Faith, Jesus said, I have the power to lay it down. That's the first thing. If I have the power to take it up again. You're getting my point here? Very important for us to understand it. So with faith, the first thing it does is give us the ability to obey. Back to the man of marriage. Faith first gives the ability to look at your friends and say, or your village people, and say to them, sorry, I know all of you agree on this, but I have to disagree. Why? Because the word of God says, henceforth, we don't know anyone after the flesh. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. She's a new creature. The person is new. All things have passed away. We're not supposed to be discussing where the girl is from. We should be discussing what? Is her faith genuine? That's the only thing we're supposed to be discussing. So I start asking, is her faith genuine? If the faith is genuine, that's all that matters. Where you are from is secondary. No, that's a secondary. Is it relevant? Okay, it's really relevant in so that we know how many yards of cloth we are buying. How much is your bride price? Do you understand? That's the only thing. Let's know where we will travel to. That's all. As for making up our minds, no, it's not allowed. There are these little things we do and our faith leaks. They will not get tomorrow. We're having business problems. We start calling God in the name of Jesus. The Lord is just looking at you like this. Me? Are you talking to me? God, what wisdom said? Wisdom said, now I'm talking, you're not paying attention. He said, in the day of your trouble, you will call me too, I will not answer. That's real seed sowing. Let me teach real seed sowing. This seed is not, I take money, I put it down, God, multiply it. That's not real seed sowing. Real seed sowing is that I obey God today. I use it to prove that really I have faith. It's a faith that's been tested. It is a faith that's been tested. So if I fail in my faith today and I get up tomorrow and I draw on faith that is dead and I want to use to collect something from God. Many people are declaring and declaring every day. And the angel said, this guy sings well. To them, it's a song. So angels are going to, angel will be whistling. One angel will ask the other, what are you singing? Say, I'm singing that guy's song. What is it? I receive it. They just see the guy as an entertainer. He receives what? No. Because he doesn't have the faith, she doesn't have the faith. Faith is not what you think. Let me just say something to you quickly. Faith is not whether you think you have it or you don't have it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me say it again. You may think you have faith and you actually don't have it. Or you may not realize you have faith, but you actually have. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Faith can be dead. It can be alive. Now listen to this. Both of them feel the same to the owner. You hear what I said? Faith may be dead, may be alive. But to the person who has the faith that is dead, he feels exactly the same like the fellow that has the faith that is alive. It's like corn. If I hold corn in my hand, if it's been boiled and then dried, which means it is dead, it will feel the same like the one that is alive, that you can plant and it can germinate. Are you getting my point here?
Yes,
the difference is when you plant it. What I'm trying to say, many people, is the day of testing, you realize that they've been operating by false faith all their lives. They go to their shelf, they see a bottle full of corn, grain. They think it can be planted. Then one day they go and plant it. They feel convinced that this thing works. Then after a long time, it doesn't germinate. Why? It does not work. Why? The faith is dead. The faith is what? dead. When James said in that chapter 2 that faith without works is dead, he wasn't saying, go and look for works to give your faith life. He was saying, if your faith is alive, you will know by the works it produces. You get the point? If it is alive, the works of righteousness that is producing is a way by which we know it is alive. That's why I say, you know, I've said it here many times. Those who go to church, whether I argue, first, once saved, always saved. You know the truth? Their pastor was never saved. He's just a professional pastor. Wears a fine suit, dresses well, combs his hair very well, sets everything well. But the guy is not born again. And that same pastor thinks that he's womanizing. One girl in the choir is his girlfriend. The secretary in the office, he sleeps with that one too. The church money, he does it the way he likes. He twists the word of God for money. Then they tell him that, you see, righteousness is in the heart. Your spirit is born again. It's not your body. Your body is not what the problem is. It's your spirit. Your spirit is a new man in Christ. Hallelujah. Your spirit is born again. It's made like Christ. It's exactly like Christ. Whatever you do in your body does not affect your spirit. Tell that guy, I said he will go to hell. Do you know why? He does not believe. His faith is dead. His faith is fried. They roasted it before it was given to him. He just does not know. The problem is that he doesn't know it. So every time he's preaching, he has the wrong concept in his mind that he believes. But it's just an assumption. And the assumption in him is so firm that he walks up to the Lord Jesus and said, I cast out demons in your name. He's so sure of it. He said, did I not do good works in your name? Did I not raise the dead? Did I not pastor a church in your name? And the Lord Jesus wouldn't argue and say to him, you're not telling the truth. He will say to him, yes, you did all of that. But I never had a personal relationship with you. Why? Look at your life. You are a doer of iniquity. Look, let me tell you the truth. Don't let anybody get into that argument. Tell the person, if you are comfortable with your iniquity, you are not born again. You are lying. I know I'm born again. You see, that's the problem with faith that is dead. It deceives the possessor of it. That is a problem with the faith that is dead. It deceives the person that holds it. Gives the person wrong confidence. He gets promoted. She gets promoted in church. You are the head usher. You are the head deacon. You are the deacon in charge of this. And of course, when the pastor is needed, you're an assistant pastor. Then once you have been assisting, you can be deputizing. And after you've deputized for some time, a new branch is opened. They put you as what? The head pastor. I went to look for one man in this town one day. When I got there, I said, I'm looking for someone super. He said, oh, you're looking for a pastor. I said, is he a pastor? He said, yes. He's a pastor. He said, pastor. Okay. Pastor. All right, fine. Pastor. No problem. Pastor. Then one day I told somebody, I said, I saw a funny pastor today. I described his looks. The person said, where do you see him? I described. He said, are you serious? I said, yes. The fellow just picked up the phone and called his wife. I said, baby. So I thought he was abroad. I was there sitting down. He said, yes, he's in London. He said, I'm sitting here with Pastor Banky, and he said he just saw him now. So he hung the phone. First to me, he said, hey. I said, Banky, you know what? I said, what? He said, that guy claims he's abroad right now. He impregnated one woman in town here. His wife and children are in Lagos. And this life is very fun. So he told that other woman that, don't worry, I'm going to divorce my wife and marry you. And that one just fooling herself. Then one day my wife traveled, went to London. She went to the UK, and the taxi man that picked her up happened to be a Nigerian. So they got talking. You know, it was a long ride from the airport down to my sister-in-law's place. So they talked at length. And the taxi man asked my wife that, how do you people make pastors in that your country, sir? My wife said, what do you mean? He began to describe his brother-in-law, who he's a notorious womanizer. When he comes to London, he will drop his wife and his children with him, the taxi man, and go and check himself into a hotel and be playing games. Nintendo games. Are you getting my point? PlayStation 4. What's that Microsoft name? Xbox. All of these ones are different types of women I just described. So they were talking. They got to a point. My wife said, wait. Right from inside his taxi, she dialed me in Nigeria. I said, what is that guy's name again? That same guy. I mentioned it. He said, hey, small world. I'm in a taxi driven by his brother-in-law. Because the guy was talking, my wife was looking like, ha, this guy is sounding too familiar. She called me from there. She said, oh, small world. I said, I will talk to you later. We'll just later. I just need to hear that. It was later that my wife, later in the evening, she was not telling me that. See what happened. The taxi man that carried me told me this, and that. And it happened to be that same person that you know. And guess what? He's a pastor of one of the big denominations in Nigeria that have branches all over the place, locally, internationally. I will not tell you the name of the church. Some of you came from there. I will not talk. Any way you talk, now you talk. I feel like tapping that guy on the shoulder. Don't be deceived. You have never believed. The person praying to you that your faith is in your heart, you still take it to heaven with all of these things, is not telling you the truth. Your faith is dead. The faith that is alive is known by the works of righteousness it produces. So don't judge yourself. Well, do I have faith? Ever since I began to believe God for that car, I've not changed my mind. You have been stubborn since you were born, you know. It's not the sign of faith. Some people are very stubborn. They think it's faith. When they argue with their father, they don't change their mind. Argue with their mother, they don't change their mind. Now they're arguing with God, they won't change their mind. That's why a lot of people who are career Mr. Stubborn, you know, there are women that you can never discuss with. They will never change their mind on anything. They know everything. Simple will not tell you tomorrow, I'm believing God. Say, okay, forget that. You don't even believe me. You want to believe God. Forget that. Just say, okay, forget that. You are not believing God. Your faith is lying to you. You have one that is what? Dead. One that is dead. Dead. So I'm not listening. So faith is not how confident I feel. No, it's not how confident I feel. A lot of fools, as they are rushing into the place where angels they fear, they are feeling confident. You know that? It's not faith. It's stubbornness. Genuine faith is known by how it transforms an individual. Genuine faith is known by how it produces works of righteousness and godliness. That's genuine faith. If your faith is not doing that for you, you're lying to yourself. You have been deceived. So in Psalm 119, we're talking about that. So David teaching us here that our prayers must be focused on obeying the word of God. All other things will be added to us. When we want to pray, let's remember that the Lord is our portion. Our aim is to keep his words. Our focus is on the word of God. And then, like I said to us before, this Psalm 119 is in segments. Each segment has an emphasis. I just went over that one again, the one we talked about last time, 65 to 72, just to kind of recapitulate briefly, that afflictions may come. The aim of afflictions is to remove us from obeying the word of God. That Satan is using it for that. But God is testing our faith and teaching us how to obey him. That is the role of afflictions. And we'll know how to judge our lives correctly. It's understanding we need. It's understanding we need so we can judge our lives correctly. And as David kept on asking, give me understanding. In the midst of affliction, give me understanding. If I have understanding, I will judge the situations of my life correctly. So now we're going to the next one. 73. David will ask, now, what is the focus of this segment? This is my understanding of it. Let me just share that one with you briefly, and then we'll use it to pray. He said, "Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments." Now, please notice what he's saying here. The focus of this segment, the way I understand it, the focus of this segment is on understanding the purpose for your life. Understanding the purpose for my life. That's the focus of this segment. That's why he began it with, "Thy hands made me and fashioned me." Quickly, let's open, just go further down to Psalm 139. Just to save time, I quickly read it. I'm there. "For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows thee very well." He said, "My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written. That is, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." That is, when none of them had happened, all of them had been written in thy books, or in thy book. So you see that verse 13, it says, "You formed my inward parts. You wove me," or he said, "Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb." Now, notice that point. The same thing David was saying was here. "Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding." I'm back to 119:73. "That I may learn thy commandments. May those who fear thee see me and be glad, because I wait for thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are righteous, and that in thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me." That is trying to bring me back to the reason why you gave me life. "Oh, may thy loving kindness comfort me, according to thy word to thy servant. May thy compassion come to me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie. But I shall meditate on thy precepts. May those who fear thee turn to me, even those who know thy testimonies. May my heart be blameless in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed." Now, what's the focus here? What was David focusing upon? When he said that, "Give me understanding," this is my understanding of it. He was saying, there is a reason why I was born. That's the summary of it. There are two things Christians have as an assignment in life. Just two things. First of all, this is the most important one. It's what Paul calls a calling. It's what Paul calls a high calling. He call us saints by calling. What is a calling? The first and primary assignment for every believer is Christ-likeness. If you read my book, How to Work for God, that's what I was trying to explain. The first and primary assignment of a Christian, the first segment is, that I said the work of God is inside. That is, the first thing God wants from us is to see his word working in us, building the Christ-like nature into manifestation. That is the first thing. The first assignment of God is not to carry a microphone in church and be a church worker. The first assignment is, this is how I used to be. Now, I've been born again. The Spirit of Christ literally has been put inside me. Now I have a job. Like Paul said, you walk out from the inside, bring out the salvation with fear and trembling. That is, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. I think I've even talked about it here before. When Jesus said, "Cut off, if your right eye makes you sin, what should you do? Pluck it out." Okay, if that says your right hand makes you offend, what do? You sharia it. You cut it off. Now, is it literal? Don't just say no. Somebody say yes. Don't just say yes. Just wait. When he was speaking, was it being literal? Now, that question, you can look at it two ways. The answer, it can be literal, it may not be literal. Jesus used to speak in figures also. All right? For example, he said, you swallow a camel. And you strain out a gnat, that is a gnat, a small insect. You remove it from your water, yet you swallow a camel. You know, nobody swallows a camel. They just can't swallow a camel. So obviously he was speaking figuratively there. All right? Now, but was it literal in that particular situation? Maybe, maybe not. But this is the point. Now, listen to this. What was he saying? If your right eye is causing you to sin, you should remove it. What was he trying to explain? He was trying to say that is how important it is that you do not sin.
so that if it is your right eye you remove to prevent the sin, please remove it. Now, what does that mean? It means that do everything necessary. Usually, if we know our right eye, our eyes will go, we'll have found other things to do. I don't know whether you got that.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't saying the cure is removal of the eyes. He's saying you have to put every effort in to remove the sin, even if it means plucking out the eyes. Now, usually, if plucking out the eyes will be an issue, you know, we will have found other things to do. You are getting what I'm explaining here. He said, okay, your right hand is the problem. Cut it off. If you know your right hand will go off, trust me, you will find other ways. That's what we were just trying to say. So whether it's literal or not, he was just saying that if that's what is necessary, and I realized that, believe me, if that was literal, we will find other things to do. It will not become necessary. I don't know whether I get my point. If we are to take that literally, we would discover there are so many other ways to prevent us from sinning. For example, the eye is making you sin. Go to where the eye is not supposed to see anything now. If it's okay, let's assume you're always looking at women and committing adultery in your heart. You go and join a monastery. You happy? I don't know whether I get my point. That is better than going blind. After all, if you go blind, you won't see anything. So go to a monastery where you won't see anything anyway, and you won't be blind. Now, I'm just giving you an example of what it implies. Now, that's not the main discussion. The main discussion is that's the primary job of a Christian. Put every effort in to bring Christ-likeness out of you. When they say cut off your hand, you may not have to literally cut it off, but you may have to resign the job. Yes, that's what it means. I've told this story here again many times, but it's a good story. A man called Edco. Edco was a Baptist minister, well known for his books on manhood, yes. How to be a man and all of that. So one day a man called him and said, I'm having a problem here. So what's the problem? So I'm having thoughts of adultery. Ah! Good Christian man. In fact, that's why he called the pastor. If he was not a good Christian, why would he call the pastor? He just go and hide somewhere and do what he wants to do. Yeah, you get my point? So the man asked him, why? So Ed Cole explained to him, asked him a number of questions, said, where is this coming from? I don't know. So after a while, I guess by word of knowledge or by word of understanding, he said, look around the office. Is there any woman there sending you vibes? So he looked. He said, no, I don't think so. He said, well, come to think of it, my secretary. He said, but I never thought anything of it because she's a pastor's wife. He said, now that you're asking, I realize that since I came, things have been slightly different. She dresses a bit more, you know, tease me, baby kind of thing. You know, that kind of thing. He said, okay. Said, cool. Said, well, don't worry about, it's not your problem. She's just sending you vibes. And that's what you are picking up. And that's what he said, that's a spiritual thing, you know, the vibes going out. So you are feeling it. That's what you are feeling. She's calling you, you know, spiritually now. So he now said, what do I do? The man said, he said, you can sleep with her. Okay, you understand what I was trying to say. He said, you fire her. If your right hand causes you to offend, your eyes, so it's like something has to be cut off. You can't just put yourself in torture every day because of somebody. In this America, your boss can fire you easily. Doesn't have to send you to any partner. Just wake up in the morning. You're fired. You know, you get my point. So the guy said, okay, let him think about whether he will fire her or, no, not the other option. I'm going to say, fire or resign the job. So one day, just called the coach, said, look, he has made up his mind. No need to fire her. I'm leaving anyway. I'm even tired of the work. He cut off his hand to prevent him from what? Committing sin. That job was his hand. The Bible talks about right hand. You see, that's where a man gets food from. There are people that are in jobs that every time they are defining your conscience on a daily basis. Surprise your boss. Just come to work. Drops resignation for him. Attach a check. One more salary in lieu of notice. No, you can't just work. People don't know some things are proper. You either give a notice or, depending on the agreement, or you give what? One more salary back instead of the notice. Surprise the man. Just comes to work one morning. Sees your desk is empty. Ah, where's this so person? Or where's this lady? Oh, sir, she was here earlier in the day. And she left a letter for you. You open it. I'm resigning with immediate effect. And then with the guy realizes, my God, this girl is serious. Or this guy is serious. What is he doing? What is she doing? I am cutting off my hand because you have become a tempter to my soul. That's what Jesus meant when he said, remove your eyes, remove your hands. There are things you will just, look, there are people I've told before that don't talk to your mother again. You know, there are mothers who work for the devil. Sure. Every time they call you, they start telling you everything that's wrong in your life. And where you are supposed to be, where you are not right now. And where how all your mates have left you behind. Every time you talk to your mother, you start looking for visa. You know, there are people like that. You are building your business gradually. You don't have any trouble. But once you talk to your mother, suddenly options that you don't believe in start showing up to you. What do you do? Your mother and your hand. Cut both of them off. Next time she calls, you don't pick her call. Block. Remember, we're talking about what? Drastic measures. You just tell your sister, say, I don't talk to mommy again. Why? Every time I talk to her, I start committing sin. So if you are working and you are supporting her, continue doing that. You know, I like bank transfer. Just be sending her money. He's always trying to arrange wife for you, and all these girls are not they're unbelieving girls. Stop talking to her. It's not Christmas time. I want to go. No, don't go home. Send your sister home. Look, she doesn't want to see you anyway. Just send her money. Send the money regularly. Your sister will be telling her that you are fine. Why does he not talk to me? He says, every time you talk, he talks to you. You make him commit sin. That's what Jesus was saying. Let's get the point. All right? So, that's what I say. So, the first assignment of the believer, walk out what? Christ-likeness. You walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's that fear and trembling that I just wanted to bring out when I was talking about all of this or that, in the cut of the hand, cut of the eyes, and all of that. Walk out the salvation with fear and trembling. That's the first assignment. The second assignment of the believer is not to build a house on the earth, not to live large, not to enjoy yourself. No, the second assignment is to fulfill the reason why you were born. Upon these two, hang all the law. All your personal commandments and testimonies, they hang only on those two things. One, bringing out the salvation of God, working out Christ-likeness into manifestation. Two, fulfilling the assignment of God for your life. Everything in life must be seen in that perspective. That's why it makes me laugh. People are always looking for where life is comfortable. You know, I've been preaching for a while. I've never, as of today, I've hardly ever preached out of Nigeria, really. It's only once I preached in another country that's not Nigeria. I'm a Nigerian preacher. That's why our website is pastor.ng. It's not pastor.uk. It's not pastor.any other thing, but pastor.ng. All right? People listen to us from different places, mostly Nigerians, but of course other Africans and people from other countries, a few. But mostly, most of our audience, they are Nigerians. Now, the point I'm making is that, however, I've never had the desire to go and preach in Europe, anywhere, any part of Europe or North America. I've never had the desire. I have preached in the U.S. once. It was my brethren were having a program, so I promised them I will attend it, so I was featured as one of the ministers, okay? But personal desire, no. To me, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. You know the one you know they call long throat? The one that drags me all the time is African countries. If you say, let's choose between preaching in the UK, preaching in any European country, and preaching in Rwanda and Uganda, believe me, I will choose the Rwanda and the Uganda first. I love Ghana. I love Sierra Leone. These are the places I want to go. Over the next few months, I'm going to work on it. I feel like, because I think it's easy in Uganda, put our messages on the air there. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize here, sometimes when I see people always running for where things are good, listen to me. One day you will account for this your life for, and nobody will ask you the car you drove. Did you hear what I said? Let me say one more time. Nobody will ask you. One day you will account for your life. They won't ask you the kind of clothes you wore. They won't ask where you used to spend your holiday. Nobody will check. Nobody will ask you. And the person who gave you an assignment will ask, that assignment I gave to you, how well did you do it? If you open your mouth and tell him country was rough. So I departed like Demas. Let me not say more than that. He will literally ask you, what did you do? How did you spend your life? And he will not ask, oh boy, was your water constant? One question he will not ask, was power constant? Another one he will not ask, were the roads good? Let me tell you a question he will not ask. Was the educational system very good? I'll give you a list of them. I'm going on the question he won't ask. Was the internet fast? He will not ask you, were the politicians stealing money? He won't ask you, did ASUU go on strike? Unless you're a member of ASUU. If you're not a member of ASUU, he won't ask you. There are questions he will not ask. He won't ask you, that your gbedu, your music said, how was it compared with your neighbor's own? He will not ask when you are spraying money, how many people pay attention? Believe me, let me give you more questions he will not ask. He will not ask whether your room was air-conditioned. He will not ask how easy it was to buy a house where you were living. He will not ask whether the credit system was good. Could you easily buy a new TV without having to sweat? You know, when you hear Christians talking, you'll be looking at them and say, this one, Jesus is coming for you. He will not ask any of these questions. None of these questions will he ask. He will just ask, okay, and we gave you life. We formed you for a purpose. We wove in your mother's womb. We put a gift inside you. How well did you use it? How well did you multiply it? That's the beginning of the question. That's the end of it. Believe me. Back to 119. So that's why David said, thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I might learn thy commandments. Now, this is my understanding of that line. He was saying, help me so that I will do the things that are necessary. Because commandments can be personalized. They can be personalized. Help me that I may learn your commandments so that I will know the things I am supposed to do and things I'm not supposed to do. Listen, when you want to make choices in life, these are the things you write down. You want to choose which wife will I marry? These are the questions you ask. That particular message should be the most downloaded message on our website. How to find true love. I don't know how they keep on finding the message. Every month, it always hits the top. There is no month it will pass. It won't hit the top 5 downloads. Okay, at least. Bad. 10 top. And if you realize we put new messages on the average, you put like 8 to 10 every month. How to find true love remains constantly among the top downloads. It means you should go and listen to it. Indeed, I explained, how do I find true love? It's a simple question. He said, draw me unto you, let us run together. It is the person you can run together with that matters. That's why when I was asking the Lord, when people say that, what did you ask God for when you wanted to marry? I didn't ask where will she come from. I didn't ask whether she would be fair or dark, tall or short, fat or slim. Irrelevant questions. It's in my book. Shall I say yes? You can read it there. One important one is I said, my wife has to believe I'm called. My wife has to believe I'm called to teach the word of God. Because it would be crazy if my wife is pushing me towards making money and not pushing me towards fulfilling my ministry. So my experience till today, after all these years, is that if I tell my wife I'm making a sacrifice in a particular area, and I say this is the reason, so we can preach the word of God some more, she has never, ever, ever disagreed. She has never frowned. When we started on radio that time, of course, first I wanted to start on radio. You know the story. We ran away. The money was too high. Then we came back. Now we could now do it. When King Noah started, 90% of the offering came from my wife and I. 95% of the offerings. I went to radio station and negotiated radio. They agreed. After agreeing, you have to bring money. That time, I started teaching for certain reasons. I started teaching part-time in one university nearby. That's in Nnamdi Azikiwe University. I didn't even like the money they were paying. It was ridiculously small. I complained, but let's make a long story short. The Lord said, do it. The Lord didn't come to say do it to the older man that dragged me, so I'm just calling him the Lord now. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, I need to say it like that because some people now say, Pastor, the Lord didn't speak to me. What I meant is this. It's true now. Let's explain to people. Christians will not make right decisions. They'll be waiting for God to talk to them. And God said, what else do you want me to say? I have taught you the principle, do what is right. What just happened then was that, look, the man said to me, look, Banky, you are making things difficult for me. I need your help this time on this matter. I told him the size of my car. I was driving a 300E that time. I said, this money can't fuel my engine going to this new way and back. I explained to him. But anyway, I finally took the money, took the job. On top of paying me small money, they didn't pay for 10 months. I walked too. No, really. I will drive from here 2 hours to go. Then Kingsley used to help me sometimes. Then Yinka will help me sometimes, you know, that's at different times. But so one day, finally, the money was going to come out. I said, praise God. So my wife was feeling very happy. She had done her calculation. Okay, by the time the money arrives, we'll be able to do this. She had her plans for the money. Around that same time, the deal for the radio concluded. You know, there are things the Lord will not tell you. So that money, as I was praying, the Lord said, Banky, give this money to the radio program. He doesn't say such things. He thinks you have enough common sense. I need to, look, I'm digressing. I will digress. The Lord expects you to have enough common sense. Banky, you have got to negotiate in radio. Yes. Where would the money come from? We'll be praying about it. All right. So you'll be looking at your money they paid you, and you are praying about it. So the Lord will join you in prayer. That day, I didn't have to go far. I just said, look, I just told myself, no problem. The reason why this money is coming at this time, radio was charging us we had to pay them 150,000. The money I was getting was about 190, 200, thereabout. It wasn't much money, I told you. Yeah, 10 months of hard labor. I just told my wife that day, she was in the kitchen. I remember she was, you know, I don't want to practice, I go tell her, I say, this is your plans. It's not blessed of God. Then I just entered the kitchen. I just said, that money, like, she was expect to hear that it's been paid. I said, I think the Lord needs it. She said, I said, we have to kick off the radio broadcast. That will be the first money we'll pay. It's 150. I said, remember, she was washing plates that day. She just said, okay. There was no discussion. There was no why now. There was what happened, what did not happen. It was just, okay. There was no discussion. What happened? Why didn't the Lord send some money? This ministry, okay, is he a loan to the ministry? I will recover, you know, nothing. I just said, look, I'll give you the testimony. That was the last time, I ever had to dip my hand in my pocket to pay for anything for Kingdom World Ministries because they needed it. Look, every time I've given money to Kingdom World since that time, it was just that I'll be responsible. You have money, you to add your own. That's all. That was the last time. That first one, we paid it. That covered for 10 weeks. It was 15,000 naira a week. It covered for 10 weeks, but it was the last time. Next time we came to pay, our marketer in the radio station put his own 15,000, added to it. Say, Pastor, remove that one. I'll put it and gave me a complete receipt. After that time, brethren were just sending money here and there. And it wasn't because they were hearing us on radio. It wasn't those who were on radio that were sending money. But money just started coming. It was the first time. It was the last time that I had to make that payment on radio because that is from my pocket, as that's the only money available. So when David said this, thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. That's what he was saying. May those who fear thee see me and be glad because I wait for thy word. Let me just really say something to us again. Anything you are doing, you are living your life expecting God to fulfill what he has written. It is not because of what you have done to deserve anything. Very important for us to understand that, all right? Now, so this segment, what David was just saying, that look, Lord, help me. He said, verse 75, I know your judgments are righteous, and in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. What is he talking about? God's judgments. God's overall plans, they are good. Wherever you have fitted me in life, I will walk there. Sometimes we go off in the direction of God. Many times he uses afflictions to return us to where we are supposed to be. Carnegie told a story, interesting story. It's not in any of his books. In fact, the day I wanted to quote it, I looked and looked. Somebody had to call a man who trained in Rima, all right, to get the story from him. He said it's not in any of his books, but I had got one of the tips that he preached there. He said that one day he woke up, he went to the toilet. Of course, he went to ease himself. And what did he find? Blood. He was urinating, and mixed with the urine was what? Blood. Ah! So he began to pray. I was a man who believed in divine healing, and he didn't used to take medicines, got all his healing all his life from the word of God, spiritual manifestation. So he began to pray, Lord, what is going on? So he knew that something was not connecting, so he began to pray, Lord, did I miss it somewhere? He said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him clearly. He said, what were you doing thinking about setting up a church in Rima Bible Training Center? He said, people have come to him and said, it would be good though, to start a church in this place. It would be good. You know, I've been tempted like that for a long time. I've been tempted now, people talking to you, convert this to a church. He said, the Lord told him, what were you doing thinking about it? He said, Lord, I wasn't planning to do it. I was just thinking about it. He said, you are not allowed to even think about it. That's what the Lord told him. You are not allowed. He said that never again touch it, not even in your thought life. All right, Lord. That's how his urine cleared and the blood went away. Afflictions come for different reasons for Christians. I've said it many times. One, ignorance. You don't know. Just be arguing against yourself that poverty is the plan of God. You say you can be sick and still go to heaven. Who said you cannot be well and go to heaven too? You won't be arguing on things that are not to your bed, to your own advantage. You know, they sit down debating things that are wrong. That's one reason why people suffer. Two, sometimes the trial of their faith. You have to learn to decipher which one is which. And we've talked about it before. David, that's one of the previous meetings on this Psalm 119. David said, when I have problems like that, I settle down and check. Your testimonies give me comfort. I check whether I've been walking according to your word. If I've been walking according to your word and things are still rough, fine. Then I know it's a trial of my faith. Second reason, trial of faith. And third reason, disobedience. Disobedience. God never blesses disobedience. Never. His patience, his goodness means he's slow to anger. But he never blesses what is wrong. The best he can do, the sign of his love is correction. And many times to correct people, what he does is to cause them to be afflicted. So the man said that day, he realized that he was living what God gave him to do. Because people were pressuring him. And the Lord just nudged him a bit. Say, oh boy, don't try that again. So I was only thinking about it. I don't want you to think about it again. So that's what David meant here. See, this is how we pray, Christians. Our prayer is, Lord, let me conform myself to, I've said the first one, the image of Christ. And two, to the reason why you gave me life. Sometimes affliction. Anytime you have troubles, never forget. Listen. It's not an enemy. It's not your neighbor. Many people are jealous of my progress. What have you Have you built a refinery? Have you seen people that have not achieved anything? They are jealous of my progress. You know, someone, you know, pride. Because you went and bought, like, that's what I'm saying. Because you bought one old motor. You parked it. Now you're having abdominal pain. You say your neighbors are jealous that you bought a 1995 Corolla. And your neighbors are jealous. I think you should park to another neighborhood, actually. Why would anybody should be jealous of you? And in case they are jealous, so? You have not built a refinery? How many cement factories have you built? I heard one recently. They said, Angote should please quickly go and buy Arsenal so you can turn them to a cement factory. And turn all the footballers to truck drivers. I just heard that one. You have not built a refinery. I mean, you've not built a cement factory. You have not built a Enugu mall. People are jealous of you. You just bought one car. An old motor car. I thank God for your life, but believe me, nobody's jealousy is the cause of your problems. I hope you're getting my point. If you have troubles, you go through those three things. One, am I believing what is wrong? Two, am I disobeying the precepts of God? If all those two things are in order, with prayer, not with your own assessment,
ask for counsel. And then three, you just know that it will pass. It's not your enemies. David said, what do you now do? You keep on meditating on the word of God. Are you getting my point here? So that's the focus of this particular segment. David was just saying, listen, there's a reason why I was born. When I'm praying, that must be focus of my prayer too. When we're making decisions, make sure your decisions have that in mind. Let me say another thing. You cannot leave the reason why you were born to when things are convenient. I see Christians do that all the time. That's been my experience. When we were in school those days, there are people who were teaching us the word of God. They were teaching us the word of God. They were the anointed people who were the small boys that, you know, wanted to talk like them, speak like them, have their confidence. Then years pass, you hear things like, let me finish establishing my business. They will come into ministry. As a ministry is waiting for them. Small boys are entering the ministry, beginning to teach the word of God, and they just assume, listen to me, what you do first is very important in life. Let me say it again. What you do first is very important. He said, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, seek ye, seek you what? Seek you what? First. What you do first is important. What you do first is important. What you do first is important. You cannot live the reason why you were born to when everything is convenient. That's how not to live long. Like if instead of committing, if you're looking for rope to hang yourself, just look for how to live the reason why you were born to the last thing on the line. Then you would die nicely early. That was once I got to my house, I told my wife, if I ever make this statement, please wake me up, report me to our brethren. Because I came from work and one of my colleagues said, listen, now that I have become a professor, I can now start ministry. He was not asking me for advice. I was looking at him like this. Yes, sir. Okay, sir. No, that's not how they preach. They preach like this. I was giving to you, when you want to record, you record like this. But I was thinking, I go home, I said to my wife, come on, here's a statement I must never make. I told the guy, look, you know, we talked about it. I said, that guy is not called to ministry. If you are called to ministry, there are statements you can't make. People say, let me establish myself financially first. And then God, who cannot supply my needs, I will take care of my needs for him. Let me just say this. I was talking about what to do first. He said they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Did Noah not eat? Did Noah not drink? Did his children not marry? Why was it not a sin for him? It was a sin for the other people. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
It was what was first that was the issue. For those people, they were eating. The purpose of their lives were what? Was to what? Eat. They were drinking. The purpose was to drink. They were marrying. They saved for 5 years for one wedding. Sometimes it makes me laugh. As people say, you save for a year, you go for the holiday of a lifetime. Believe me, spiritually, you have a problem. Spiritually, you have the person has not saved for a whole year to give an offering. He has not saved for a whole year to support a ministry. He has not saved for a whole year to help people who are in need. He's saving for a whole year. The other people say, I'm saving for 2 years. I'm taking my family to Europe for a holiday. Listen to me. It's a very stupid thing. Stop doing it. It's vanity. You know, I was thinking about it. I said, anybody who don't save for 2 years, can't land, don't plan to go to Texas this last month. Now landed the week the hurricane arrived. You know what happened to him? He will stay in the hotel till it's time to go home. In fact, his new prayer will be, like, Father, in the name of Jesus, the water will recede so I can get back home. The water will recede so I can. I thought about it too. I said, look at this life. I was just looking at Texas covered with water. I said, do you know some people plan holiday of a lifetime to come to this place?
Yes.
Well, they just put sign out. Please, nobody should be on the road. Then they put coffee in some places. Listen to me. What you do first is important. For Noah, Noah ate, yes. He went on holiday, yes, he did. But building the ark, in case you do not know, it took him 120 years to build that ark. Oh, many don't read their Bibles enough to check. The ark was not built in 12 months. Oh, read your Bible well. Noah built for 120 years. Oh, you just open those pages and pass through. For those 120 years, the focus of his life was the assignment of God. Build this ark. Build the ark. In that process, they ate.
In that process, they drank. Let me add what we're trying to explain. Now, in that process, they went on holidays. In that process, they watched TV. They were also on Facebook, Instagram, in that process. But whatever they were doing, they made sure it did not slow down the building of the ark. Because once Uncle Methuselah dies, is it uncle or grandfather? Once the man dies, so they were rushing and building. Are you getting my point here? What am I trying to say? When we are praying, we're talking about the most important prayer. Our prayer is for this purpose. One, I must obey the word of God. Especially now, we're adding that one to it now. Especially as it concerns my assignment in life. Let me say to us again, we all have a purpose. We all have an assignment. God did not create us to come and enjoy life. God did not create us to build a house in the village. God did not create us to build a house in the city. God did not create us to enjoy anything. All of those things are things that are added while we pursue the purpose of God for our lives. So when next you want to take a job and a few doors are open, remember your prayer is not which one pays better. That's how you know people don't believe anything. Which one are you taking? Ah, you are still asking me. Can't you see the pay here? Can't you see the pay? These people are starting me. Yusuf, check them now. Up front, they are going to give me every year 1.5 million. After that, they give me this. Ah, what else are you still asking for? It doesn't work like that. One man told me once, you know, say, he said, I know what you are doing is what I'm supposed to be doing. I said, so why are you not doing it? He said, I work in a bank. You work in a bank? How does that stop you from preaching? That I work early morning till late at night. Actually, my wife used to work in a bank, so I understood. So why are you continuing working in a bank when you are supposed to be doing what I'm doing? He said he has family responsibilities. You know, there are things you just hear people say. You just see the Bible being written again. That's what happened to Jesus now. He said, my father is my responsibility. Let me quickly take care of him before I come and attend to this matter. I told him, man, look, they don't do like that. Because the way he used to talk to me on the phone. The way he sounded sure that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. What this man Enugu is doing is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be preaching the word of God. So later on, I listened to David Paulson. David Paulson said, one of the ways you know your assignment in life is that which vibrates you. The word we will use is resonates with you. So it's anytime you will hear me, let me use our own words now. I used to resonate with his spirit that this is your assignment in life. So I said, why are you not doing it? He said he has responsibilities. He said he's working in a bank. Why are you working in a bank? He said he has responsibilities. Is it right hand, he said? Apostle?
Yes,
right. He said right hand, right?
Yes,
good. If your right hand causes you to what? Offend. Now, this offense for him is walking away from the will of God. What is he supposed to do? Cut it off. Should have left there, gone to the state government, applied to teach in their secondary schools. Yes. The Lord probably opened that door for him. Then he can come to school in the morning, close by 2 o'clock. Secondary school, I mean, he's a university graduate. Secondary school won't be hard for him to handle. He can get another job somewhere and free his time. It's called cutting off that right hand. Because David said, give me understanding so that I may learn thy commandments, so that I may follow the reason why you give me life, because your hand made me. I talked to that guy a number of times those days. Oh, but you have to do something. I don't know what he ended up doing. The Lord is patient too, but does not endure forever. After a while, he will decide that this unprofitable servant, you will find somebody else. He does that. I told you, that's what you use faith for. I've done it before. You say, this guy, you're just talking. I've done it before. There was a time I took a 60% slash in my income. 60%. If you drop from 15,000 to 6,000, what percentage is that? From 15, that you lose 9,000. Drop to 6. That was it. 60. 60-something%. That was a cut I took. I can't go into details now. I said, no, Banky, the way you are going, this is not the will of God concerning you. So I got up one day, and that's what you look. That's we're talking about the most important prayer. That's what you do prayer for. He said, how will I do that? There's no need to worry. Take the matter to where? Prayer. To prayer. And pray until you hate the job. Pray until one day you resign, you won't know why you resigned. Pray until you get to work. And then sometimes it's too hard for you. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, have me fired. And you get my point. Is that one? Money will miss. It's not bank. One day, money may miss one day, and God will ensure it is not you. But while they are checking whether it is you or not, they put all of you on suspension. And the Lord lets you know, so boy, he ain't coming back. And you will now say to him, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good for me that I was afflicted. In your faithfulness, you have afflicted my job. Now I obey your word. It happened to me then. I mean, I took a cut. 60-something percent. From 15,000 a month to 6,000. And I told my friend of mine, I said, people think I'm crazy. He said, I'm one of them. I don't know where I get my point. I was talking to him. I said, some people think what I did was crazy. He said, yes, I think so too. I was confiding in my friend. He said, oh boy, I know say you're the grace. Forget that thing. I think he told me straight, I think what you did was crazy. But for me, it was reasonable. Money became hard. Don't think after that, the law began to supply, you know. I just called, money come, and it just came, you know. And I just called, money come, and money came. And I made the sacrifice, and then I began to call. Now lie. Bros, I broke like a person with sin. Are you getting my point? Tell you, it's a matter of fact. I became very broke. That was when I have told you many times that I didn't used to go anywhere. It was because I was broke. You come to my house, you always meet me at home. It's not as if, oh, this guy doesn't like going anywhere. I was broke. If you go out, you pay money. If you can't, you know, I don't know, people don't know how to manage their lives. Just stay at home. Nobody is going to tell you to buy ice cream. You have a good excuse. Say, buy ice cream. Now, say, no, they sell for my compound. So you go start hanging around the mall. That's when one sister will see you. Ah, that's a hey, brother John, how now? Come and buy me ice cream. Shame no good, let you say no. And I say, oh, okay, ice cream. Which one do you like? You like fan? Say, no, I don't like fan. Supreme, no. Which one do you like? Cold Stone or more? you all look and say, Lord, my life is over. You quickly check. Ah! These 2-5, what you don't plan for. And you can't talk, now just go there. Praise God. Yeah, which one do you want? Ah, you are praying, Father God, let her not ask for all those things. So she now say, I'm not so hungry. Say, praise God. Thank God, thank God. She's not so hungry. I say, at the end of the day, how much is that? $2,350, sir. All right. You know, you can't talk. You bring out the money, you pay. You say, oh, you're so sweet. Yeah, I'm so sweet. Okay. So sweet. Where you go, my life becomes bitter. No. After that, she wants to go. Are you going now? Yes. Let's go together. No. I'm tempted. Because you know, say this money just enough for part keke, part trek. And when you go with her in a taxi. Believe me, when you stay at home, according to DSTV, and watch DSTV. Remember that advert on DSTV? Just sit down and be watching telly and reading a book. Nobody is going to tell you to buy anything. If they say buy, they say they don't sell in my compound. That was what I did, though. I didn't used to go anywhere. I was in Lagos. Go where? For where? For what? Going out was too expensive. But I'm not kidding about it. It's the reason why you are listening to me today. That is the reason why you left everything you had to do this evening. 2 good hours and you are here listening to me talk. That is what they call seed. That's real seed. That's the real seed. That's why I can say, I enjoy it. I enjoy one day, one guy sent him a mail recently. I fought one of our brothers. He said, sir, I've been reading that mail since you forwarded it to me. What's inside the mail? A young man, young boy just about to enter university, describing how his life now is, how he now handles his parents, how he now does work at home, how he goes back to school to help. He's not just talking about it. He said, when I listen to this, what the world produced in my life. Are you getting my point? Seeing the result of my travail, and I'm glad. That's what seed sowing is. It's not now after I sowed that and I saw a millionaire. No. What is that producing? I mean, I see things like that once in a while. I'm happy about it. That is what prayer is for. Let's rise to our feet. That is the focus of that segment. That's what prayer is for. Prayer is, Lord, your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May my heart be blameless in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Like I said, listen, one day you are going to stand before the judgment throne of Christ. One day. You are going to stand like this. And the decisions you made in life. People talk about the will of God. Is this right? Is this wrong? The will of God is not usually, should I do this? Should I not do that? That's not the will of God. The will of God, most of the time, that's why it's so easy to understand it. Do not be foolish, he said, but understand what the will of God is. The will of God can be understood. That's my emphasis. It can be understood. He said, be transformed so you will prove what the will of God is. It's something you can understand. It's something you can explain to people. So what is the will of God? It's simple. Every time you have to make a decision, analyze why you are making the choice you are making. That's the will of God. And today's focus is, when I want to pray, thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Let my whole life be an example for those who obey you. Are you getting my point here? That's what David was saying. He said one day, I've just jumped a number of verses now. He said one day, I'm going to stand before the judgment throne of Christ. May my heart be blameless in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Let us pray. Say, Lord. No, you are using your own words. So say, Lord, this is the purpose of my life. Help me. Your hand made me. Your hand fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. When we are going to prayer, these are the things we take to prayer. This is our school of prayer. We are learning the kind of things to say in prayer. We are learning the kind of things to say in prayer. I want to make a choice. It's not, Lord, where will I prosper more? Where will I enjoy myself more? No. What you simply say is, Lord, your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commands, thy commandments, how it affects my life, where I'm supposed to go, where I'm not supposed to go. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, your hands made me and fashioned me. Let me just read that 78 again. He said, may the arrogant be ashamed for they subvert me with a lie. He said, but I meditate on your precepts. When people are talking about you, it's not what you are saying that matters to you. It is what the Lord is saying about you. I meditate on your precepts. They laugh at you when you make choices. Has happened to me before. Country was very hard that time. People assumed that I'd be looking for where money was, better paid. And I mentioned to people that I was taking a job in university in Enugu and I'm moving to the east. I remember some people glanced at themselves at the point in time when I applied for a job then in one university. People glanced at themselves like, is this guy okay? Are you for real? Like they say. Are you for real? You never suffer rich for this your life. What I was thinking about is that I have to teach the word of God. I have to teach the word of God. I was just setting myself up in such a manner that teaching the word of God is going to be easy for me. David said, may those who fear thee turn to me. May those who want to follow God's will for their lives, may they turn to me. May I be an example to them. He said, those who know your testimonies, who know the reason why you made them. Because that first line is the key to this portion. Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. May those who fear thee turn to me, even those who know thy testimonies. I read this again. May my heart be blameless in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Pray that prayer. You are here, you have been trying to make a choice for some time. This is what God that's what he's demanding of you. That is what he's demanding of you. That is what is demanding of you. To ask questions according to purpose. When Solomon made that request that pleased the Lord, it was because it was a request according to purpose. The previous segment here talked about affliction. This segment is talking about living a life of purpose. Next time we'll talk about a life of patience. We'll get to that one later. When David said, my soul languishes for thy salvation, I wait for your word. There's a life of patience to live. Let's give God thanks for what we have learned today. Remember, we're talking about the most important prayer. Psalm 119 is the most important prayer. How to pray and be pleasing to God in things that we say. When we're taking words to prayer, it's what we have in our hearts that matter. That's what this series is about. For us to form the right thoughts when we are opening our mouths to pray. When we are saying to the Lord, thy will be done. Let's know what we mean by thy will be done. And we are saying, Lord, reveal to me your commandments. Let's know what we mean. Let's know what we are asking for. Let's give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, thank you for understanding. Give him thanks 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 for what he has revealed to you today. Let's just read that portion of the of Psalms again and we'll close with it. Open your Bibles quickly, Psalm 73. That's 73. I meant verse 73. Psalm 119. We're seeing 119. Verse 73, sorry. Are you ready? Everybody, we're reading it together. 1, 2, let's go. You made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. 74. May all who fear you find in me a cause for joy, for I put my hope in your word. 75. I know, O Lord, that your regulations are fair. You disciplined me because I needed it. 76. Now let your unfailing love comfort me, just as you promised me your servant. 77. Surround me with your tender mercies so I may live, for your instructions are my delight. 78. Bring disgrace upon the arrogant people who lie against me. Meanwhile, I will concentrate on your commandments. 79. Let me be united with all who fear you, with those who know your laws. 80. May I be blameless in keeping your decrees, that I will never be ashamed. Father God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for today. Let our lives reflect your word. Lord, let our lives reflect understanding. Lord, let our lives reflect purpose. Let our lives, Father, reflect the fear of you. In the name of Jesus Christ.